This is episode 75, recorded October 5th, 2012. Peck and Pokes at Skin on Skin, Fast or Slow.
You're on in 3, 2, 1.
This is Peck and Pokes at, and I'm poking at your news.
Good evening, everyone. Welcome to another fine edition of Peck and Pokes at. I am your immutable and unmutable host, Peck and Sonic. And joining me out on the far east coast is Joe Unseen.
They're always after me, Lucky Charms.
Well, you're married. You shouldn't be let people chase at your Lucky Charms.
Oh man.
Keep those Lucky Charms yourself, Joe. And joining us also on the East Coast today is Wayne Random XS.
Greetings, and salutations.
And salutations to you too, sir. We have a fine show tonight. And so let's get going to our first story. Our first story tonight, Wayne found this story. It's about California saying it's illegal for employers and universities to ask for your social media passwords. Wayne, can you fill us in a little bit about this, please?
Yeah, this is I've heard that California had a kind of a weak law in place before this, where your boss could ask you for your password, but you didn't have to give it to him.
Right.
But this new law actually makes it illegal for them to even ask.
Yes.
For your password, and there's been cases, apparently hundreds of cases now across the country, people coming forward saying that their bosses have been asking them for their passwords for Facebook and Twitter, and something has to be done. And a few states are coming forward now, Maryland, I think, and there's even talk of a federal law maybe to
Illinois and Delaware was in that as well.
Yeah,
this has been a real problem. There's a lot of states, Wisconsin being one of them, where they are not restricted from asking for passwords. I'm just glad my boss doesn't ask me for mine. For my social media sites, or to poke around inside what I'm doing. I don't think it's right that the states are still out there doing this. Joe, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is a growing problem. I know quite a few people who went on to become school teachers, and I've heard of them being told they weren't allowed to even have a Facebook, or they wind up signing up for Facebook, but they have to use a fake name to hide their profiles from their employers. And it's, from the other point of view, it's kind of a win-lose for the school district, because when they don't have a policy and hire a teacher and it turns out that this person has some kind of wild online persona and then some tech-savvy parent finds it, they blame the school for this. Like, how could you let this person in and teach my kids? Look at them on there with that whip and that face mask. And it's like, oh, man, 'cause it does happen,
Yeah.
But yeah, totally. I think that our social network passwords and what we do online on our own time is our business.
Absolutely.
And that employers shouldn't have the right to ask us for that kind of stuff.
All right. And I agree with you there. It's just that these places should not be allowed to do, to poke around inside our private lives like that. It's, there's a lot of people like students that have these social media sites, Twitter, Facebook, whatever. They actually changed the name. Instead of using their Joe Smith, it's using it Joe Smythe, or just a little variation of the name, so that way when potential employers or their school decides let's see what they're up to, they go look for that name. If they can't find it because they're using a fake name or something just off by a few letters.
Right. My legal name is Joe in Plain Sight. and no one's going to find me.
Joe in Plain Sight. There you go. Wayne, did you have any more comments you wanted to add on to the story?
I guess for people to keep their eyes open, maybe even ask in their own states. They should look, and this seems to be talked about a little bit more. And proactively, we need to actually push legislation through nationwide to take care of this problem now.
Yes, definitely. It is a problem. And they're trying to get other states to get involved in this, and there's the Password Protection Act of 2012. I never thought we had to have a Password Protection Act. But it's under consideration in Washington currently. Our next story here, which is a really interesting one. If you're out and you find a body,
happens all the time.
It happens all the time. Actually, it does. It happens all the time.
It happened to me this morning. I was like, really? Again?
Most of the bodies I see are deer and skunks and cats and dogs. The bodies that these people, the bodies we're speaking of actually are human bodies, and sometimes when the bodies are found, they're very hard to identify. So, fortunately, we have DNA. This was another great story that Wayne had pulled up. Wayne, your name is now Dane. Wayne, would you want to give us a little bit more background on this story? This is really interesting.
Yeah, this is a Mexican case, but what happened was there was a burned body, and the DNA in the burned body was damaged too much for them to be able to use for identification. And I guess the person was killed, and then sometime later the body was burned. But between the time that they were killed and the body was burned, some maggots had gotten on the body and were munching on the body, and they were able to actually get a DNA extraction from the digestive systems of the maggots that were in the body, and identified this woman. And this is the first case of it being used in a burn case. But the article also mentions that in China, a case was used where they found a head and the body were not together, and they were able to use this DNA technique with maggots.
Yeah,
to match the body to the head.
Yeah, it's not the first time that they've used insects to determine the who somebody was. I think it's starting to come into the court system. It was they've used evidence that was used in a Chinese court for body parts of the same that turned out to be the same person, but they found out that would be the headless corpse you were referring to, I believe. It's interesting that that the wildlife that's around us can actually become, I don't want to say crime fighters, but they can become good evidence in a case that's currently going on to bolster the prosecution's evidence against somebody, or just find out who somebody is. Joe, your thoughts?
Look, gang, a clue. Dawkins Dog in the chat room says, if you're out and you find a body, you should be allowed to keep it. Finders keepers, losers weepers.
Oh, that's nice.
But yeah, they found this body. They said that they found a high school ring near it, so they had kind of like an idea that it might be her.
Mm-hmm.
And they went into the maggot's guts, and they were able to extract DNA. And at first they found that the corpse was a female.
Yep.
And they went to the missing woman's father and got some of his DNA, and they found that there was a 99.7% chance that this was his daughter. So
yes,
that kind of made it conclusive.
Yeah.
And it's pretty amazing that they can now identify human remains this way. Maybe eventually they will find Jimmy Hoffa.
Yeah. Maybe.
Hey, Packard?
Yeah,
hey,
maybe.
Hey? You got Jimmy Hoffa in your backyard, don't you?
Yes, I do. Don't tell anybody. Shh.
Oh, okay. I don't know nothing about it.
What do you mean you don't know anything about it? You helped me put him in the trunk. What are you talking about?
Friends help each other move bodies.
That's right. That's exactly it. You got to, hey, he's a good friend.
But hey, bada bing, bada boom, we got to put him in the ground. What are you going to do?
That's right. What's really interesting is that they can isolate the DNA from the maggot, the human DNA from the maggot. That's what's really interesting, the best.
I guess they would look for like markers in the DNA, like certain sequences of letters, and that way they'd be like, oh, that's definitely not maggot.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. Definitely. And I think their DNA is more base neutral as far as apart from ours, because it's insect life,
Right. I couldn't imagine it being very similar to ours at all.
Yeah, not at all.
People unless the people are really freaky and getting it on with insects.
Ooh, yeah. That's where Mothra was born, you know.
You know, they found Jeff Goldblum's body. He's, like, half fly, so he'd be completely screwed. Yeah. They're like, all right, this dude is, like, I don't even know. This guy's not even human.
That was a good movie.
That was a great movie.
Brundlefly.
I think it was 1985 that came out.
Yeah, no, actually, that was a remake. The one with the... That was a remake, actually.
Help me!
Yeah, there was one back in the...
Help me!
From the 70s, I think it came from that. So,
well, the original was like 1950s. It was, like,
was it 1950s?
Yeah, it was horrible. Well, it wasn't horrible. I mean, it's good for what it was, but...
Yeah.
Like, the scientist wore this gigantic fly head. He looked like dead mouse as a bug.
Yeah. The remake, they did a little bit on the remake, but it wasn't, it was still kind of gross.
Oh, it was definitely gross. I mean, his body was like, we're talking about movies now.
Oh, right. Well, this is not the movie section of the show. Okay. Wait a minute, we don't have a movie section of the show. Well, let's get into our next topic. Out in California, they've actually done something smart. They've actually decided to take under consideration, and they've banned these conversions, places out there. They're saying if your teen is gay and you want them to, say, hey, we want our teen to be straight, you could take them to to one of these clinics and say, hey, you know, they bombard you, say, hey, you want to sleep with the opposite sex, you know, they call it a therapy. Which is ridiculous. There's no scientific evidence that this shit actually works at all, for one. And Governor Jerry Brown announced on Sunday that he had signed the SB 1172 by the Democratic Senator Ted Lieu of Tolerance. The law prohibits sexual orientation change efforts for anyone under the age of 18. It will stop children from being psychologically abused. And it doesn't take place until it doesn't take effect until January 1st. These religious nuts, though, that are that basically want this bill, don't want this bill in place, are fighting it already. It's not, the law hasn't even taken effect, but they're already fighting it. It just blows my mind that these people are fighting something that they should know that is harmful. I'm glad to see that California is becoming a leader in this. I'm not from California. I've never actually been out there. But I'm glad to see that they're leading the way on this, so this way that other states hopefully will take up the cause as well and say, hey, you know, this therapy is dangerous because the children that go through these therapies, they commit suicide, they hurt themselves, they feel like they're outcasts and whatnot. Praying the gay away doesn't work. There is no way to pray the gay away. Someone is gay. They're because they're born that way. That's all there is to it. Joe, your thoughts.
Baby, I was born this way.
That's right.
Yeah, this is a great bill. I saw Governor Brown sign this on TV, and this article quotes Brown as saying that the therapies have, quote, no basis in science or medicine, and they will now be relegated to the dustbin of quackery.
Uh-huh.
Bravo. I mean... How yep. about homeopathy and acupuncture and chiropractor and all that other nonsense that is also going on? You know, there's a whole lot of unrelegated medical nonsense now, nonsense out there. And, you know, you had mentioned that there's no evidence that gay conversion therapy actually works.
Right.
I think we've talked about it before. There's no need to convert them.
That's right.
You know, I mean, it's like... It's like trying to force a left-handed kid to write right-handed.
Absolutely.
So there's actually no need. No need.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with that. There is no need. These people are born this way. If anybody out there that thinks, you know, that homosexuality is a choice, I have to ask, when did you decide to choose to be straight? And if you say, well, I didn't decide to be this way, or then that's the same thing for them. They didn't choose that way. This just how they are, and there's nothing wrong with it. Wayne, your thoughts?
I'm glad it's a bold step. It's nice to hear politicians saying, because there is no basis in science, we are not going to support this.
Yes.
I wish they could use that more often, more than they used to. But this is kind of interesting things, like in the last, about 10 years ago, a study came out, some guy, one person, one study came out, and he, in his study, he said, maybe some therapy might possibly work, and everybody jumped on that, this guy, Dr. Spitzer, and, But just recently, this year, in fact, he came out and said, oh, I'm so sorry about that. I don't know what I was doing. I think I was probably smoking something when I read that study. he apologized for his study. It was a complete, in his words, he was, I owe the gay community an apology.
Yes.
He said, but,
do they still quote him now that he's, like, said, like, oh,
yeah, of course they do. You know, they always will because the paper exists still. But, so every time somebody brings it forward, you know, somebody else has to remember, oh, he recanted that, you know, that's... Or somebody could just say, read the study, that's pretty bad.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you're bringing up something that was debunked, Nimrod.
Yeah.
But, you know, also, you know, Michelle Bachmann's husband is involved in this business.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really
she is such a nutball as it is. It's not even funny. I mean, the fact that she thinks that praying the gay away is her husband is gay. I bet you they're doing stuff on the side so they're out of the limelight, and so he can still be who he is. I mean, the fact that I hope, you know, I generally don't hope for people's marriages to dissolve, but I hope this man. I hope he just. Just gets away from her and says, hey, I was gay the whole time, and just totally, you know, but that most likely would never happen because the fact is, you know, there money keeps people together, especially when you get money that big, you know, that's all that's holding them together. It's not even a relationship anymore. All it is, it's a checking account at that point. Let's get on to our next story here. This is on YouTube. There's a girl who's caught on tape saying, you know, well, we're out getting people to sign up to vote. But we're just kind of registering Republicans, and because we're kind of pro Romney, and she's very much trouble for this because she was claiming she was with the sign up committee for the officer out there, something like that, so to get the county register to get people registered, and they said they have no knowledge of this girl. She's giving phony credentials. On top of it, and it turns out that she was tied to a RNC that's, you know, a Republican tank thing that they go around, they sign people up to, you say that, you know, they're going to get these people signed up for registry for the vote, and it's not that's not what's going on. Wayne, you found this story. I actually seen the story as well. That's what was going on about it. You have more information on this.
Well, I think you covered it really well. It's spreading, and a lot of states were using this company, Strategic Allied Consulting. The guy who owns it is a Romney supporter, big supporter of Romney, and an advisor, I think, or to at least some close connection to Romney. But he's made millions of dollars with this company that goes out and basically registers people, but really only registers Republicans. And they have also a lot of other problems. I think there are fraud cases now in 7 different states against this company. The GOP has officially cut their ties with that company, and but it's just, you know, more of their election shenanigans.
Weren't they also responsible? They were also responsible for supposedly saying, well, if someone had signed it as a Democrat, they would take their Democratic slips and they would like destroy them or throw them away completely. And
I think there's some talk that that's what they were doing, yeah.
Yeah, so these people who think that, oh, I'm signed up, I can go down there, and they get down to the place to vote, and they go, hey, you're not signed up, we don't know who the hell you are, because you didn't come down and sign up for us. So they think, well, these people came around, and that's just voter fraud. That's plain voter fraud. I really wish that people would just go to their local polling place or their local... wherever that they have to sign up to register to vote and just do it right away as soon as possible. And don't, if someone comes around and says, hey, I'll sign you up for vote, say, get off my property, you know, go get out of here. It doesn't matter if they're Democrat or Republican. You don't know if these people are who they claim to be. I personally wouldn't let somebody say I'll sign you up for to be sure you're signed up. No, don't do it. You're just causing yourself a shitload of problems. All right, let's get into our next topic.
Did we talk to Joe about that?
Oh, Joe, you're right. Whoops, I'm sorry. We're a little. Oops. No, we don't want to talk to Joe. Sorry, Joe. What were your thoughts on this, Joe?
Hey, Joe Unheard here, and
Joe Unheard, your new name, Joe Unheard. You better grab that Twitter account before somebody else does.
So we always seem to be covering stories of voter suppression on the show.
Yes.
And the people who are suppressing the vote are people who are they're doing it for the reason of they want to prevent voter fraud.
Right.
And lately, a lot of voter fraud stories have been popping up, not just this one, but there have been a whole bunch of others going on all around the country. And what's crazy is the side that was trying to suppress voters under the banner of fraud protection are now actively engaging in acts of fraud.
Yes, I know. Isn't that something?
How embarrassing.
Yeah.
How embarrassing for, like, that lifelong, you know, registered voter of that party who is like, you know, like, oh, I can't believe all this fraud going on. And then, boom, it's your party that's committing all the fraud.
Yeah, yeah.
It's monumentally embarrassing.
It is. That's exactly it. You nailed it right there. The Republicans, they've been crying, voter fraud, voter fraud, voter fraud. Well, they turn around and say, okay, well, let's go commit some voter fraud.
Exactly. I've been hearing stories of them, like, signing up dead people and stuff. And, you know, admittedly, I took this constitutional history class once, and the professor told us that that going back decades, both parties engaged in things like this. They'll sit there and watch the obituaries in the newspaper, and then they'll run out and they'll vote for all the people that died that year.
Oh, geez. You know?
And he said that, like, because both parties were doing it, it kind of canceled each other out. Everybody knew it happened, but it just happened.
Yeah.
And, you know, I mean, now we're getting more digital, we're getting a little bit more on top of things. When someone dies, you know, it's taken care of a little bit more quicker.
Yep.
And, but still, it's going on, and we're finding out about it. It's crazy.
Yeah. You're right, it is being taken care of a lot faster now because of the digital age. And these people are being taken out of the voter rolls almost immediately. I mean, within, you know, a couple of days at least. So just the fact that these people are out there still trying to pull this shit is just amazing.
Mm-hmm. What's crazy is the people who are crying fraud, 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 fraud are committing the fraud, which is just that's just outrageous.
Oh, it is. It really is, and it just goes to show you that the Republicans are just they're trying everything they can to win, even if it's illegal. Speaking of illegality, really quick here, it's not a show topic, but they had the debates the other night, and I've been seeing this on Facebook. There's apparently a rule that you cannot take notes, charts, whatever with you out to the podium. There's video and there's snapshots of Romney taking crib notes out of his pocket and putting them up on the podium. He said he was reaching for a handkerchief, but he puts it on the podium, and then he kind of unfolds it a little bit, and you can see there's something inside there. And he never once takes a handkerchief and uses it during the debate at all. So the fact that it's there was kind of like a don't watch this hand while this hand is trying to screw you over. So he was fucking cheating. He was cheating his ass off. You wanted
if there's a rule against it, they shouldn't have it, but I don't know why that rule would exist. I mean, do you think Lincoln and Douglas debated without notes?
I don't know, but I don't know if that. But that's as far as I know, the debate is you're not supposed to have any crib notes because you're supposed to be up there on your own merits, not what you're written.
The rule, they have to follow the rule.
Yeah, they have to follow the rule. So he's a fucking cheater, and that's all there is to it. Wait, did you want to chime in on that real quick?
On
the crib notes?
I didn't see that. That's all news to me. But I think I agree with pretty much what Joe said. I it seems like a silly rule.
Yeah.
But you know, hey, if it's a rule, then. But you know, I'm not going to get all worked up about it. It's not that big a deal.
Okay. I saw that just this morning, so I was like, I got a little pissed off about the fact that the guy's a fucking cheat. But I already knew that. But anyway, all right. Well, let's all right. Well, let's get into our next topic.
Give me the news.
Coming up in just a couple months now, it is going to be December, and in December, it's going to be the end of the world.
Don't joke about the end of the world. It's happening.
Well, I did lose 35 pounds. So that's a sure sign of the apocalypse right there. There's the people out there that say, you know, the Mayans, they didn't complete the clock, the calendar past 2021. 2012, December 21st, because that's when the world is going to end. Well, there's new information on this. They're saying that the experts are saying that the Mayans never once said that there was going to be the world was going to end. It just the estimates, the system's counting at 3114 BC. It'll have to run through 13 Balkans. Or 5,125 years around December 21st. So the experts are saying that it was a significant number for the Mayans and the end of a cycle that would be a milestone, but not an end. So people out there, if you're freaking out that the world is going to come to an end in December 21st, stop freaking out. There's other good reasons to freak out, like Mitt Romney. Joe, your thoughts.
If the world's not going to end, then why are we doing an apocalypse show? No,
because my computer blows up every show.
Every night's an apocalypse show.
Yeah, every show it's an apocalypse show, yes.
I first heard about 2012 and the Mayan calendar back in the 80s from my dad. Mm-hmm. And I love my dad, but as I've mentioned, he's a bit of a Nostradamus fan.
Ah.
And he told me the Mayans were an ancient civilization that may or may not have talked to the aliens.
Oh, geez.
And they made the most magnificent calendar ever created. It's more accurate than our calendar. And it ended in 2012. Why? And I'd be like, you know, I'm like seven. I'm like, I don't know, Dad, why? He's like, no one knows.
Like, oh, man.
So a few months ago, this news story goes around on Twitter. I wish I still had the link, but I guess they found a new Mayan calendar in some ruins down there.
Oh, really?
And it goes all the way to the year 7,000.
Oh, well, that's good.
So 5,000 years from now, people on podcasts are going to be talking about the Mayan apocalypse. We're going to have to go through this all over again as a race.
Damn it. I'm sorry. I'm busy in 7,000 years. I've got a thing to do, you know.
Yeah, I looked ahead on my calendar as well. I'm a little busy that day.
Yeah, me too. Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, this would be no different than somebody in England maybe coming across a five-year calendar book that was owned by Stephen Hawking.
Mm-hmm.
It ends in 2012. Stephen Hawking predicted the end of the world.
No.
You know, it's like, okay, no, they're basically just the end of a calendar cycle. You know,
why did it end in 2012? They ran out of tablet. I don't know.
We just ran out of stone. We had no more stone to write on. So we decided, yeah, let's just end here.
Well, there was a John Cusack documentary that actually proves that all of this is going to happen.
Oh, really? You mean the Doomsday movie?
Yeah, called 2012.
Yeah, I saw that movie. It was actually pretty good, except for, you know, the people getting crunched into gears. Well, I won't give you too much spoilers, but I'm not watching that
because that's really what Moses had. He had these big battleships that that actually held every animal in the world.
Or the DNA. I don't know if they're going to recreate another DNA, but, you know, hey, we got cloning. Sure, why not? But it was kind of cool. Wayne, did you have anything else you wanted to add on there before we move on? Or?
No, I think they have these, like I said, these 400-year periods, these Bakuns or whatever the word is.
Yeah.
But and somebody made one that had 13 of them in a row because they like the number 13.
Yeah.
You know, but and I think that what Joe is referring to is somebody else made one that went out 20 cycles instead of 13 cycles.
Right. Exactly.
So an extra, you know, 3,000 years to worry
about.
Sure,
we can all tweet each other on December 22nd and be like, we were right again.
Yeah, atheists were right. We're still here.
The best thing is we're always right.
I like that part of it. There are some days, though, when being right is a pain in the ass, but those days are few and far in between, thankfully. But being right about something doesn't always make the best story, unfortunately. This poor man, he was using his BlackBerry, and he was, you know, having a little conversation with his girlfriend. Apparently didn't know how to use the damn phone, and this is one of the reasons why I don't like crackberries. I call them crackberries. There's a lot of people in the BlackBerry community call them crackberries, too, because you're, like, on the damn thing all the time. These were
they're so hard to use. You have to press the button so many times to get to anything.
Yeah, and it's a jumbled mess. I do not like the BlackBerries. I use something like it for work, and it's a pain in the ass. That's my opinion, though. There's a lot of people out there that really like BlackBerries. This man, he does not like them now. I'm sure he wish he had an iPhone. No, this is not the technology section of the show. The poor man here, he apparently is having a little conversation with his girlfriend. It's, you know, kind of a little dirty, a little racy. And he's like, I want to have a little one-on-one time with you, skin to skin. And these are actual quotes, skin to skin. And he says, it can be fast or slow. Do you prefer to be fast or slow? And it's not, that's not too explicit, you know. It's not like he was saying, hey, I want to fuck your brains out, which he didn't do, but when he went to send out the message, instead of just sending to just, you know, his girlfriend, he sent it to everybody in his contact list. So he is now being, he's gone to jail for a short time, because they've proved that he didn't intend to have this message go out to people that were in his class. He's a teacher, it turns out, and who are aged 13 and 14, and so it kind of screwed him over. Oh, actually, Wayne, you know, you found this story. You have anything else that I've missed on this? You want to fill us more in on this?
Yeah, it was the guy's a swim coach.
Yeah.
And the girls were in his swim class. So he pushed the button, you know, and it sent to everybody, and everybody freaked out. He got sentenced to, at one point, he was sentenced to 18 months in prison,
yeah.
And he actually did, like Packer said, a little short time. He did about 3 months. The judge finally said, he goes, okay, look, I realize it was a mistake, gonna let you out of jail, just pay this fine. Oh, and by the way, we're gonna leave you on a sex offenders list for, you know, probably, I don't know if it's the rest of his life, or it's just gonna be many, many years, but it's just career as a swim coach is over now.
Oh, yeah. He can't be around kids.
Like I said, this is for sending. This is not a racy tweet at all. I mean, it's I hate him calling it. You want to do a little skin on skin, a little fast or slow? If a girl's 13, 14, can't handle that kind of language when they know it's not directed at them, it's like, come on, people.
Yeah. It makes me wonder, you know, if these kids, you could come forward and say, hey, you know, we realize it wasn't directed at us. We don't want to get this guy in any trouble. I wonder if that would help his case any. But, you know, the fact to put him on...
Oh, did we mention this is in England, I think, right?
Yeah, this is over in England, yeah. The fact is, though, the fact that he got put onto a sex offenders thing for this makes me sad that, you know, you could be put onto a sex offender list for almost anything nowadays.
Oh, yeah, there's stories of, like, if you're urinating in public, if you're a college
mm-hmm.
student and you're partied out on Fraternity Row, and you have a few too many beers, and you're behind the whatever building on campus taking a leak, and the cop catches you, you can get put on a sex offenders list for indecent exposure.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. You know?
It's true,
yeah.
though.
So, you know, and you know, the goodbye career.
Yeah. Yeah, your life is ruined at that point, too. Joe Unheard, your thoughts.
I was going to make fun of something that you said earlier, but I don't even remember what it was.
That's all right.
Yeah.
Your thoughts, Joe.
I agree with what Wayne said. I mean, it's some scary shit when you can accidentally text message and then wind up on the sex offenders list. I mean, he didn't even have sex with anyone.
Yeah.
He was screwed by his phone.
Yeah.
You know, it's really ridiculous. I mean, I think that this is a failure of the British legal system.
Mm-hmm.
I think that when they consider, in America, when they consider the insanity defense, they have to look at your intent. Like, were you capable of understanding intent? So like Wayne said, if somebody is intoxicated and they're behind a building urinating, what is their intent? Is it a sexual intent, or did they have to just empty their bladder?
Yeah.
This guy, he tried to text his girlfriend something sexy, and it accidentally went to every contact in his phone, including his family.
Mm. That's
what was his intent? Was he trying to solicit sex from everybody in his phone? It really is ridiculous. I think that they should have stepped back and looked at the bigger picture and looked at who this guy was, and you know, and just been like, all right, listen, you know, these things happen.
Yeah.
It's the 21st century. Don't do it again.
Right. Take everybody else out of your contact list or put them somewhere else, you know. Don't be sure what you're doing, you know. And one other thing that's very important is know your technology. If you can't handle technology, don't have something that's that complicated. Use something like a feature phone. Those things they won't send multiple messages to multiple people. They're just not designed that way. That's
right.
So even with an iPhone, you can't send to multiple people unless you jailbreak it and have it set up to do it that way, and you just can't do it that way. I think that's a feature. That's a great feature not to have.
Or just leave the sexy talk on Twitter, like me and Packard do.
Yeah, we just hot chat back and forth between Joe and I all the time.
You have no idea. Yeah, the direct messages that nobody sees, they're disgusting.
That's right. We talk about mud and dirt.
They would make your grandmother blush.
That's right. He just gets me so hot. all right, well, let's get into our next topic. Out in Germany, the Catholics out there, the Catholic Church out there, what they're doing is they're telling the Catholics out there that if you're paying so much in tax, like say you're paying £1,000 or £1,000 lira or whatever they use, or no, marks, German, I don't know what they use anymore.
I think they're on the euro now.
Are they on the euro? Okay, you're paying €1,000, for example. You get taxed at like 800 more euros on top of that, so you're paying 1,800 euros. And they say, well, you don't want. There's a lot of people who are kind of pissed off at that because they don't want to pay this tax to begin with, and I don't blame them. They're saying, well, if you don't want to pay this tax, you can't pray in the church, or if you have a funeral, then you can't have your funeral in the church either because you're not paying taxes for that. And it's just flabbergasted me that these multi-billion dollar corporations, really what the church is, it's a corporation. It's not even a religion anymore. Just the only thing they worship is money, and they know it. You know, they get these gullible people to give them their money to begin with to get into heaven or whatever the fuck they think that they're using it for. They should not have to be forced to pay to use this just so they could use the churches. It's like the Catholics and religion is dying on the vine anyway, so I think this is a last ditch effort on their parts to try to just get more money before they discover finally that people are just not going to turn their money over to them just willy-nilly for no reason. Joe, your thoughts?
When I go into a Catholic church, I shoplift my prayer. I pray, and I don't pay the collection basket. I don't consider it stealing from the church. I'm stealing from God.
That's right.
Yes. I steal all my prayers. So, I heard about this article not too long ago, recently, and I believe it dates back to the 30s, this practice of using income tax to fund the church.
Mm-hmm.
It's a way for the state to mandate church funding. So there you go. You know, another reason why church-state separation is a really good idea.
Yeah, no kidding.
But people can now opt out of it, and so they're not paying their taxes to the churches because they just don't want to pay that money. But they still want to go to the church and get services, and the church is noticed. They've noticed the financial pinch. They notice people are still showing up and, like, you know, I want a communion, I want this, I want that. pray for me. The church is
pray
like,
for yeah. me. $5, exactly. please.
The church is like, yeah, no.
Yeah.
as the Young Turks video on this article showed, 999
Pray for you, 9
Banging in my apartment. But yeah, I mean, church and state separation, great idea. Taxpayer funding of churches, bad idea.
Yes.
And it's really bad for the churches. If faith is the driving force behind the payments that you're receiving, and the people are losing that faith, therefore you're not getting your payments.
Right.
Right there, you're hurting yourself. So.
Absolutely. Absolutely. You got it right there, too. Wayne, your thoughts?
Yeah, this is I guess that's an American, you know, we hear church tax, and what's going on here? But as Joe says, this kind of goes back, at least, but it's interesting, this goes way back, actually, in a pre-Christian Germanic tradition, mm-hmm. so that in lots of countries like Denmark, Sweden, Iceland, whole range, Finland, these church taxes exist, and basically they were ways to fund the churches. Yeah. You know, it's been recently codified in the 1900s in German law, so, you know, back into the Weimar Constitution in 1919, and then maybe again in 49 in basic law, 1943, whenever their basic law book came out. But, yeah, 70% of church funding in Germany comes from these church taxes that people pay, which come out to about 1.5% of your income tax. It's based on a percentage of the income tax that you pay. So you pay about 20% income tax, and then about 8 or 9% of that is tacked on as a church tax. But your church, your local church, decides that, yes, we're going to collect taxes, and then they have an option. They can collect the taxes directly, which, if they're smart, that's what they do, because then they don't have to pay the government to do it.
Right.
Or they just tell the government, hey, collect taxes for us. But then as a citizen, all you have to do is write a letter to the state and say, oh, I'm no longer in that church.
Yeah,
and then you don't have to pay your tax anymore, or you just, you know, you never were that member of a church that collected taxes, so you don't pay it.
Right.
But now the churches are cracking down, saying, "Hey, you're claiming you're not a member, but you're coming in here." I don't know. If you're going to have a tradition of church taxes, then yeah, people ought to pay their taxes if they're going to go to the church.
Yeah.
You know, I would say stay away from the church.
Yeah. Well, I think that's the easiest way. Just stay away from the church. That's like going to the donut shop and you say, oh, I'm not going to buy anything. I'm just going to kind of smell the donuts. But they're going to charge you just to smell the donuts.
I'm going
to
use the bathroom.
Yeah, I want to use the bathroom. You know, there are places that use, there are pay toilets. They do exist. I've heard of them. I haven't seen one, but I have heard of them.
Mm-hmm. They're all over Europe.
Yeah.
Or they used to be back in the 70s.
Yeah. So they are around. I don't know if they're still around today, but I know there's a few of them out there. So, all right. Well, our next portion of the show, we're going to get into into the history of Halloween. Since this is October and Halloween is part of the tradition of this holiday season. And I enjoy Halloween. I used to take my kids out trick-or-treating and whatnot. But the Catholic, not so much the Catholic Church, the church in general, religious people, have really had a kind of a frown down on it because they think it's satanic and everything. But the problem is here with that line of thinking is that they don't realize that a lot of the history of the church or of the holiday came from religion. And that just blows my mind that they don't realize that. Like, for example, the was heavily influenced by the holy days. It was All Saints Day, was known as Hallowas or All Hallows or Hallowtide or and All Souls Day. It was falling between November 1st and 2nd, respectively, and it was ordered by the Church by Pope Gregory the Fourth to make it an observance. Back in 837. So it just blows my mind that the people nowadays, they've completely forgotten where the history of this holiday comes from. And we're going to start the clock. Joe, give us your thoughts on this.
Yeah, Halloween, according to some of the articles I've read, is quite possibly one of the oldest holidays that humans practice. mainly because it's based around harvest.
Mm-hmm.
It's based around a season changing. It's where life is ending in the fall or autumn, and for the winter, you know, life is very stagnant, and then, you know, in the spring, life comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And so there's a lot of death associated with that time of year. The leaves fall off the trees, things like that. A lot of the history of what we currently celebrate as Halloween goes back to Celtic times.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a lot of celebrating the dead. The dead can walk again during that time. There's English customs where the poor would dress up and they would ask for food or money. And this came over to America. The Puritans in New England, they didn't really want to have much to do with it because they were kind of like, oh, that's, you know, whatever. But in the southern states where there was more Catholics and more Central European immigrants, and then they kind of held on to it a little bit. And then in the 1840s and on, the United States had a big surge of Irish immigrants during the potato famine.
Mm-hmm.
And so they brought with them a lot of these Halloween customs, which go back to, I think you meant, did you mention Gregory III?
Pope Gregory III,
I think, was the one who tried to to make Halloween a Catholic holiday.
I think it was Pope Gregory IV, actually.
One of them.
Yeah.
Pope Gregory the something.
Pope Gregory the Packard. Yeah, Pope Gregory the Packard.
Pope Gregory the Packard, he was like, all right, they're having these pagan festivals, and it's all devil stuff.
Oh,
so we got to have it more Catholic stuff.
Yeah, that's...
So they made it All Saints Day, All Martyrs Day, that kind of stuff. And so the Irish immigrants during the potato famine brought that to America, and people got together and just celebrated.
Yeah.
They ate harvest foods, you know, pumpkin pie and... Right.
And Joe, that's time.
All right, good. I'm done bullshitting.
Thanks, Joe. Wayne, we'll start the reset the clock, and your 2 minutes starts now.
All right, the thing that I thought was interesting, looking back at the history of this, is that yes, it's an old ancient tradition and we've had it for a long time, but really it was kind of the British Isles, the United Kingdom, that area, you know, England, Wales, not so much England as much, but Wales, Ireland, Scotland, they are the ones that really kept it alive and held on to it, and they're the ones that really practice it. And it's only just in the last 20, 30, 40, 50 years that it's actually starting to spread across the world, but now it's becoming a huge holiday worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's nowhere near Christmas yet, of course.
No.
But you know, a lot of countries in the Netherlands and Sweden, Norway, that way, they're just now getting into it. Other countries around the world are starting to finally pick up on that. Hey, this is a pretty good holiday. But it's really only like in the U.S., like Joe said, after the potato famine. The Irish bringing it over, the Americans, we really did observe it, and they just kind of kept it alive. And then in the 1900s, I guess it started picking up in the U.S. And then, you know, I've always thought it was a great holiday. It's my favorite holiday.
Yeah. Well, you have 30 seconds more there, Wayne. Do you want to use them?
I think that's enough.
Okay. Yeah, you know, the thing is with the Celtics, that they use this, actually, from what I understand, if I remember, I heard this right, or I read it right somewhere, I don't remember which one it was, but apparently that they used to use this as their New Year's Day, or the New Year's Eve and New Year's Day also. So there was a lot of that going on. They would use that to celebrate, too. And the dressing up part was so they would scare away any spirits away from the people during that time of the year, and the treats that you know the kids go around saying trick or treat would be the ones where they would leave out the food for the travelers that were scaring these spirits away. And the holiday is really interesting, and I think that we should really cover it a little bit more because there is so much more to this, and this is the best time of the year to actually speak about it. So we'll cover this a little bit more during the month, And if it gets a little old, we'll switch into something else. But for right now, if you have some comments that you'd like to leave for this portion of the show, and you're watching us here on YouTube, just put in the comment section down here below. And
tell us what you're going to dress up as.
What am I going to dress up as?
In the comments. Tell us what.
In the comments below, tell us what you're dressing up as and what kind of spirits are you going to try to drive away with what you're wearing. Sure, why not? put in the comments section down below, and we'll read your comments on the air for next week. All right, well, let's get into our next topic. Our funny tweet this evening comes from Sir Flush-a-Lot.
Sir Flush-a-Lot?
Sir Flush-a-Lot. There's actually someone with the name Sir Flush-a-Lot. He says, my wife hid the Star Trek movie I was about to watch and said I needed to do the dishes first. Did I just get Spock-blocked?
That's great.
I hate getting Spock blocked.
Was his name Sir Flush-a-Lot?
Sir Flush-a-Lot, yeah. That's SirFlushalot. Sir Flush-a-Lot.
I like big turds, and I'm not going to lie. You others can't deny.
Hey, you guys! Our shout-out this evening comes from me, and that is for Atheist Pig. The spelling is TheAtheistPig. He has a website called theatheistpig.com, and he basically does his own cartoon. The pig that he's representing in the cartoons is an atheist, and he has to deal with all these Christians and what crazy people around. And he puts them in these weird situations. With some of these situations, atheists like myself and Joe and Wayne, I'm sure, have been in them.
Atheist Pig is awesome.
Yeah.
He's so funny. His cartoons are
cartoon
so
I've
great.
I enjoyed them. Yeah,
he's got some great cartoons. It's usually in black and white. He does them like you would see in a comic strip once a week. He does them in color, too, just mix it up. So if you're out there, give Atheist Pig a follow and tell him you heard him on the show. All right, let's get into our question of the week.
Excuse me.
I have a question, sir.
What are you doing? I'm asking you a question.
Last week's question was from Medusa, and she said, if the Gutenberg press was never invented, how technology advanced, what do you think we would be today, and how would it be different? Unfortunately, because it's a very complicated question, I didn't get any responses, unfortunately, so I imagine some people would have liked to have, but they just didn't have that many rooms to put on to fill out on Twitter there. They probably could have used Twitter longer, but...
It's a great question, too. It's so interesting.
Yeah. It's an interesting question. Maybe it's a little too highbrow for this show.
We're bringing the brow down tonight.
That's right, we're bringing the brow down tonight. You're damn
Everything
right.
Everything is too highbrow for the show.
The brow is too highbrow for this show. The question for this week is from Wayne, and his question is, you've just been hired to a promotions position at Kellogg's company. What would you put in this new breakfast cereal box as a gimmick? Joe, what would you just been hired to the promotions position at Kellogg's? What would you put in the new breakfast cereal box as a gimmick?
So is it, would you put in...
You know, like a new toy or what, you know, they put the prize
Oh, because I came up with a new type of cereal is what I came up
oh,
with.
Oh, well.
Oh, that sounds good.
That sounds good, too, yeah. That's
okay, my cereal, mm-hmm. All right, you guys are the board at Kellogg's. They're like,
sure.
All right, guys, I got a winner here. We're going to make a cereal called Frosted Spaghetti Monsters. Frosted bits of puffed corn in the shape of the FSM with red marshmallow A's. And the mascot would be a cartoon of Christopher Hitchens.
Oh, there you
and
go.
Instead of the caption, they're great, or whatever, he would say, human decency is not derived from religion. It precedes it with a well-balanced breakfast.
That's great. I love it.
I know. I want a box right now.
Me too. I'll take a box right now. Wayne, you just had hired a promotions position at Kellogg Company. What would you put in a new breakfast cereal box as a gimmick?
I would put out a series of the the descent of man, the ascent of man,
mm-hmm.
but little missing links, the evolutionary from the common ancestor to humans, but with the branching off, so not just a straight line, but the little branching off, and then the students, so the children could collect their little collectible missing links, Neanderthals, Cro-Magnon man.
Nice.
And they could build their own little evolution chart for man.
Nice.
I think Neanderthal should be the rare one, so you have to buy a lot of cereal boxes to get Neanderthal.
Yeah. No, that's great. I wish I'd thought of that, actually.
Wayne, you're hired at Kellogg's.
You're hired, Wayne. Welcome aboard. As for myself, if I'd been hired to a promotions position at Kellogg, what would I put in the breakfast cereal as a gimmick? I was actually thinking what Joe was thinking. I hate to steal your thing there about the spaghetti monster, but I was actually thinking exactly right along the same lines.
Really?
Yeah, actually it was.
Only
difference is I'd actually put a little toy spaghetti monster inside and some stickers and maybe, you know, not a, I wouldn't, I was going to say a blow up thing, but you probably don't want to put that in there.
You're going to put a blow up doll in a breakfast cereal box?
A living doll.
Wait a minute. Whoa. You just got hired at Kellogg's, and your answer is I'm going to put a blow up doll in the kid's cereal box.
Hey, it's not necessarily, it doesn't say kid's cereal box. It could be an adult cereal box.
Oh, there's
too.
An adult cereal box.
There you go.
Where do you go shopping?
Some place where they have blow up dolls, apparently.
No, yeah, but no. If you did that, then you'd have a whole different market right there. You know, blow up doll, some assembly required. buy 50 boxes. But if you, oh, that's just too strange to think about. If you've just been hired for a promotions position at Kellogg's company, what would you put in the new breakfast cereal box as a gimmick? And don't put a blow up doll in there. And put in the question.
In the chat room says snack, crackle, and blow.
Nice. That's the name of the cereal, snack, crackle, and blow. Put in the comment section below, and we'll read those your answers on the show next week. All right, well, this we've had wonderful time tonight. If you would like to reach us out on, and we're on Twitter, and if you're not on Twitter, why aren't you? You can reach Joe on Twitter as?
Joe Unheard. I mean Unseen. J-O-E-U-N-S-E-E-N.
Right. If you want to reach Wayne, you can reach Wayne on Twitter as?
Random Excess. R-A-N-D-O-M. I don't know if do I have an underscore.
You forgot how to spell your name.
You have no underscore.
Yeah, I'm not good at spelling. I have no underscores.
All right.
R-A-N-D-O-M-E-X-E-X-C-E-S-S.
Right. I was going to say, you said you had no underscores. I was going to say, I don't want to hear about if you're not wearing any underwear.
How did you know he wasn't wearing underwear?
I have.
He only told me that before the show. Come on. Wayne, dude, you said only I would know.
I can see him from here. If you want to reach me, I'm on Twitter as Packard_Sonic. That's PACKARD_SONIC. If you would like to get the show announcements, that's at PackardPokeset, all one word, on Twitter. If you would like to get the show notes, that's at PackardPokeset.wordpress.com. And while you're there at PackardPokeset.wordpress.com, there's a donation button on the right side of your screen there. And just press the donation button, put a few dollars bills in there if you could. It would really help the show out and keep the show running and keep the internet on and the lights on and all that other nice good stuff. If you would like to, talk to us. We're all, like I said, we're all on Twitter. Just give us a shout. We just talk to anybody. Well, anyway, this has been Packard Pokeset. We just poked at your news.
And that's a wrap.